Look, but don't touch. That should be the motto of all divers, according to Jack Jackson, author of Diving with Giants.
When you touch animals, you damage their mucus on their skin, which protects them from diseases. When you touch coral, you kill it. So that's the big important thing for divers, not to do that. And people have only realised this in the last 10 years. If you look at old books, or even today, American books, people are touching the coral, and we can't do that anymore.
Does that mean that diving can be ecologically sustainable?
Oh, yeah, it's fully ecologically sustainable if you are careful what you do. And of course, the important part of that is for the operator who's running it to lay down the rules. Now, you can go too far. Israel wants you to keep 3 meters away from the coral. Well, that's not close enough. That will work against Israel. This is one problem with conservationists, all types of conservationists. They lay down so many rules that people don't go. And if people go, that's what pays for the upkeep. If they don't go, it doesn't. And that's important. I'm always trying to run this into conservationists. They don't seem to realise what damage they're doing by forbidding people to go at all. They need to allow some amount of interaction, as long as damage is not done.
And what do you think is the best way of interacting then? So touching is obviously out of the question, but what's okay?
Well, just getting close enough to watch. Like, one of the common things nowadays is to watch shark feeds and things like that. Here, you're not willingly touching them, but sometimes they touch you, but you're that close.
Do you think it's not disturbing them, though, the fact that we do have humans kind of floating around when they're eating or sort of in their habitats and so on?
This is unusual with fish. It doesn't seem to be. If you watch birds, you can usually get within, say, 3 metres, and then the bird flies off. The fish don't seem to worry.
And from your point of view, what do you think you learn about the animals or the fish when you're so close to them?
Well, you learn about the way they behave, the way they live, what they enjoy, what they don't enjoy.
And how do you think we can make diving more of a eco-tourism type thing so that people will be encouraged to do it, but equally, as you say, won't damage the environment?
Well, I think it already is in most cases by the type of operator. English operators are very good anywhere in the world. Things like Taiwanese, South Korean operators are not so good. What tends to happen nowadays is that an operator looks after an area. So where the operators tend to be English, they tend to be in good condition and healthy reef, healthy fish life. And where the operators tend to be South Asian operators, often that's not the case. As you know, in places like Bali, they're still slaughtering hundreds of turtles every day. That sort of thing can't do anybody any good, let alone the turtles.
And if I am choosing a site to go diving, what are the things I should look out for then to make sure that it is going to be a safe place and a sustainable place?
Well, you can't completely control safety. You know, I mean, it is an adventure sport. There are things that can go wrong. But you could inquire of the state of the operation from other divers who've been there. And bear in mind that the cheapest is not always the best because they're cutting corners. The thing you can notice with a boat is whether it's leaking oil, whether they've got a receptacle for rubbish, whether they take their rubbish back to land afterwards rather than throwing it over the side, things like that.
And ultimately, how do you see diving contributing to the whole sort of movement towards more conservation and more ecotourism?
Well, the fact that people are doing it and realising the benefits. I mean, even in the case of local fishermen, they're seeing the benefits. If you've got these no-touch zones and no-catch zones, the fishermen start getting much bigger yields. In the end, they gain, you know, whereas in the past, they just pulled everything out of the sea.
And where do you think is one of the best places in the world to go diving?
Well, one of the best is Sudan, there's no doubt about that, but it's politically difficult. Other than that, Malaysia, Philippines, the better parts of Indonesia are among the best.
And is there somewhere that seems to be really, really popular and you just don't understand why?
The point is you do understand why. The area that is extremely popular at the moment is the Northern Red Sea. I mean, I was diving there 30, 40 years ago, and it was very, very good then. It's now overdived now, and you've got lots of new non-diving hotels, and there's cement dust and sand dust going into the water, and it's ruining everything, killing the coral. But I can understand why they go, because it's so very cheap.
If you're someone who's thinking about, I want to try diving, I haven't done it before, I want to try it, what would your top tips be?
First of all, the in thing at the moment is little swimming pools that they put in these shows. You can get just the feel of diving from that. Now then you have to start your courses, and I mean even though some courses are not particularly detailed, it's still several days. Now after that, I would not advise diving in British waters. I would advance extra dives to get used to open water. I would say do it in somewhere like the Red Sea or the Caribbean, where not only is the diving very easy, but with all these beautiful fish swimming around you, you suddenly lose all your panic. You're concentrating on the fish rather than the diving.
That's Jack Jackson. His book, Diving with Giants, is published by New Holland.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth, and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.